Welcome to Creators Revival, where we talk all things branding, creativity, and design. I am your host, Kendall. In this episode, we are talking to Michael, who is the creator of popular product Logo Package Express. He's also created or recently released another product known as the Logo Package Swatch. You don't want to miss this. Let's get into it. Just tell us a little bit about you just recently came out with Logo Package Swatch, and your prior project was Logo Package Express. And I remember using Logo Package Express, and it seems to be like a natural progression toward what designers actually need, but it seems more or less in so many ways of kind of scratching your own itch. And we'll get to that in just a second. So just tell us just a little bit just about just who you are and just how does Logo Package Swatch work?
Okay, yeah. So I was trained as a graphic designer. I went to Western Michigan University and got my bachelor's of fine art in design. Mm-hmm. And I worked for agencies in Chicago after I graduated. I worked for agencies for about 4 years. And after that, I went freelance, and I had two clients that were like on retainer, and that was more than I needed. It was a good amount of work and money. And then one of those clients started to have some financial issues, and I didn't want to get to a place where they couldn't pay me anymore. Mm-hmm. Have to kind of deal with that in the business relationship. So I left that contract job, and that left me with a good amount of free time. And so what I started to do was I read this book called How to Design Products People Love. And the very first chapter of that book had a research process. That research process sort of was really interesting to me. I didn't set out to create a product or a business or anything like that. But that research process was interesting to me, and leaning into that led me down the path of actually creating these products that I sell. Now, in terms of Logo Package Swatch, which is the newest tool that we have released from the company, is called Logo Package. And Logo Package Swatch is basically just about gathering color information from Illustrator and then making it really easy to create color guides using that information. You can send those color guides to your client, or you can keep them for your own reference. I have a dog that barks sometimes. But Lily. But the other really neat thing that people like about Logo Package Swatch is that it tells you the best conversion for your color to Pantone coded and uncoded. And that is something that has been missing from Illustrator for a few years now, since Adobe removed the Pantone libraries from their software, because Pantone asked them to. Pantone wants you to pay for a Pantone Connect subscription. So with Logo Package Swatch, you can also get accurate Pantone conversions for your colors. And that's the new product.
So you said that you were working and there seemed to be things that were going on, and you were like, okay, I can see these red flags. Yeah. I probably should go ahead and start preparing for some kind of strategic exit. But it also sounds like you said you had time on your hands. So it's kind of like, okay, what were some things that you, I guess, did prior to that to kind of help to cushion yourself in the event that, okay, things aren't going to go the way as I'd planned with this job? How did you manage to keep focus, but at the same time transition from employment to, okay, I'm going to be on my own for a little while? How did you navigate that?
So, it's always important to recognize the timing of these things. And, I quit my job as an uh, as a designer for an agency in 2016. That job, I just didn't feel like there was much room for growth left for me there, and that was pretty much the reason that I left. But at that time, I had saved up enough money. I wasn't planning on quitting, when I started saving the money, but it's just good to save. And I had enough money saved up that I think I could have been okay without having a job. I mean, things would have been tight, but I could have been okay without having a job for, I think it was 9 months, which felt like a significant amount of time to experiment and still have time to go back to, you know, what you know, if I had to. So it was a calculated risk at that time to say, I have some time for trying out freelance, and I still have a marketable skill. If I can't make freelance work, I'll just go back to looking for agency work. So that allowed me to take that risk and make that transition, having those savings. Then once I was free of the job, it's just kind of like, how are you going to approach this? I think some people might not be trained in graphic design or have a graphic design degree or whatever, and I think a lot of those people come up against this more quickly because they start doing design as a hobby and then they want to turn it into a profession. So they just immediately jump into like, how am I going to handle this freelance activity? And so they're brave for doing that. For me, I kind of went through talent agencies first, places that are just going to connect me to a job, and then I don't have to spend all my time looking for work. And that worked well at that time in 2016. And then half of my time was spent with one of those assignments for the American Medical Association here in Chicago. And then the other half of the time was some work that I had found through Upwork. So there are also sort of like online places where you can find design jobs. And that job, I was able to pivot off of Upwork and actually become a contractor for them. And I worked as a creative director remotely for that agency, which was in San Diego. And they required 20 hours of my time a week. And the other assignment required 20 hours of my time a week. So I had two contracts that paid basically an entry level salary, but there's two of them. So it was a good time. Now I've had periods of time over the last year where my product business, which is all I do now, I don't take client work or anything like that, wasn't earning the same income that it had been over the previous few years. And it was scary. And at that time I had to decide, do I want to take on clients again, or do I have to move into a smaller apartment? Like, what am I going to do to save money? Because I'm running out of money at this time.
Right.
Instead of that, you know, like 2016, where I had a good runway. So I did end up moving into a smaller apartment. But fortunately, I think the economic situation improved a little bit. People started buying the product again. I went back to the fundamentals of really focusing on my affiliates and people who promote my products and building those relationships. And then, of course, I built this new product hoping that that would bring in another stream of revenue. And that has been successful. So I'm no longer worried about needing to pick up client work. But I did enter that environment for a while over the summer. And I can say it has changed dramatically since 2016. It was a lot harder place to find work.
What was the challenge that you faced that actually caused you to create the Loco Package Swatch?
So Swatch being my newest product that I've worked over the last year, I could answer that question in terms of like, what is the challenge I thought that people were having? And then there's also what was I personally going through that incentivized me to build the product when I, you know, nobody has to make anything. There's always a reason why we do. So, yes, the situation with me over the last year was I had released the third version of my flagship product, which is called Logo Package Express. And Logo Package Express allows you to make logo variations and export them very quickly. That has been my primary income earner and all of that stuff. I had a third version with several really good new features, and that launched in November of last year, so almost a year ago. The problem that I had been facing leading up to that was that development of that product took 2 years, and I had expected it to take maybe 6 months or something like that. So instead of having sales like I would normally do, promotions, and instead of reaching out to new affiliates and growing my audience, I wasn't doing any of that because I was worried that I was going to get hundreds of new customers and then have to turn around immediately and tell them, okay, there's a new version now, so pay me again. I didn't want to be behaved that way. But the deadline kept getting pushed farther and farther and farther. Mm-hmm. And so I end up neglecting sort of those fundamentals of my business for a year or more. And when I had the launch, finally, it was very successful. We raised a lot of money. But because that development period had taken so long, it also meant that I owed my developer a lot of money. So while the launch was successful from a personal finance standpoint, I didn't really come out much further ahead than I had started. And that was fine. The business was still operating at a good level. But I had made some assumptions about how my income was going to increase, and that had dictated what apartment I had and those sorts of decisions. So then I felt the repercussions after the initial big spike of success with that new launch. I felt the repercussions of having neglected those fundamentals, and my affiliates weren't promoting as much. I didn't have new people sharing with new audiences. I hadn't had a sale in a while to sort of build up the coffers and the money that was saved up in the business. And that combined with sort of, I think, the economy in general, just at a macro level, was very stagnant. People weren't buying things. It meant that I had some of the worst months for my business that I had had since I started. And when I started, I didn't need the business, right? I just was doing it for fun. So that was sort of what incentivized me to say, what are my options? I can take a job, I can have a cheaper apartment, or I can build a small product that I can make quickly and relatively cheaply, and then use that as another revenue stream. But I wasn't going to just make any product for any reason. You know, I've been doing research along the way throughout the course of my business, and I know what ideas have already been validated and are likely to perform well. So that was really the challenge, that not neglecting the fundamentals for a long time and then sort of just having a bad economic situation in general. Those two things meeting at the same time.
How did you go about validating? Like, what was your process behind that?
So the initial research method for the first product, that was its own process, right? Because you don't have an idea yet. You don't have a business. You don't have customers. That process was going to places online that people who I have knowledge about what they do hang out, because they'll just naturally talk about their problems on like a Reddit thread or whatever. Hey, how do I do this? Or what's the answer to this? As opposed to just reaching out directly to somebody and saying, what's a problem you have as a graphic designer, right? They're going to make something up, but it's not going to be real.
Sure.
So the first research process to get my first idea was more along those lines. But for something like Logo Package Swatch, the most recent product in the product line, I have customers now. So what I will do is I will make a prototype of something, or people will just reach out to me unprompted and say like, hey, you should make this. But I will have an idea, and then I will build a prototype of it in Figma, or whatever you want to use. It's just static mockups, but you can click through and you can kind of see what is supposed to happen, right? It doesn't require any money to pay a developer to make. It's just a visual representation of the idea. And then I will create a video where I demonstrate how that product is going to work. I will send that video out to my customers and say, hey, do you want to pitch in on a new product idea and help me out with a quick survey? If you do, I'll add you to the beta if we build this product, that sort of thing. So a survey goes out, and amongst the questions in that survey is, would you use this, and would you pay for it? If you would pay for it, how much would you pay? There's all sorts of questions. But at the very end, I will say, are there any other problems you think we could help you solve? And so I have another product that I had already validated, but I didn't end up building it. It just didn't fit in with what we were doing at the time. But a result of collecting that information about that question from the previous unbuilt tool, what other problems can we solve? 300 people writing me different things that they think that I could solve for them. And the one that came up the most was about how difficult it was to get color information out of Illustrator and into your brand guidelines or into color guides for clients. So I already had the knowledge that a lot of my customer base wanted this sort of a tool. Then I went through the prototyping phase and the validation phase of actually sending out the survey and saying, would you use this? But that survey also has the question, what else can I do for you? So it's this sort of like cycle that allows me to validate one product and get ideas for new products at the same time.
Yeah, it's very good about how you're somewhat solving the problem, but then asking them, well, would you like fries with that?
Right.
And seeing different responses and maybe even coming up with other solutions that the parent product solves, and cascading it down as far as order of importance of what your customers want. So that's excellent. So what advice would you give someone who wants to solve their own problem through creating their own plugin?
Yeah, so you have to ask yourself, am I building this because it's going to help me and make my processes work better? Or am I building this as a business because I want people to buy it? If you're solving it for yourself, then what I would recommend is learn a little bit about scripting inside of, well, if we're talking specifically about Adobe products, right?
Right.
Learn a little bit about scripting inside of Adobe. There's a lot that you can unlock there to automate processes. And then I would say, look into there's forums online for Adobe scripting and that sort of thing. See if anybody else has already made a script for it that you can sort of modify to fit your own needs. If you're solving your own problem, you're going to spend your own time on it and you'll find a way to make something that works, go for it. There's always a benefit to making your business run more efficiently or your processes more efficiently. If you are going to build a product that you want to sell to people, I would say that it is actually a risk to assume that just because you would use the tool that you're building means that anybody else would use it or is going to pay for it. So in that case, I recommend, anybody can look into this research process I was talking about. It's called Sales Safari, and you can learn a little bit about it. But basically, you want to try to find places online, forums or blogs, or whatever, where people are leaving comments, where that's your audience. Those are the people that you understand what they do, and you're sort of an expert in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Want to just comb through there and see what they're talking about, because what you learn that way is what problems are people actually having, not just me, but I've seen that a lot of people have this problem. Two, you learn what they are willing to pay for. What do they buy? in the case of designers, like, if you do this research, you find out, you know, designers will buy books. You know, designers will buy courses from people. You know that designers will buy these plugins or extensions. You don't know if they're going to buy a Microsoft Word template or something. I don't know, I'm just making things up. But, like, you get to see what their problems are, what they are willing to spend money on. And then lastly, you get to see how they talk about the problems that they're having. And then when, if you create a solution around that, you can use their language in your marketing, right? So, like, just for example, you know, pardon my language, but a lot of people talking about exporting out files and stuff will say, this is a total pain in the ass. So right on my homepage, it's like, doing this is a pain in the ass. You know, you're just using the language that they use to describe their problems right back at them. So they feel immediately like, oh, this person really does understand the problem.
It's funny that you said that. Like, whenever I'm thinking of, like, ad copy, or to, if I want to press at a certain pain point with a message, I'll use Google, and I'll go to, like, the reviews, and I'll scroll through to see what people are complaining about someone else's product, and use that. Yeah. Use the exact same language. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. It's basically the same process that I was just describing. You went somewhere where people are talking about the thing, and you're going to get their honest, unrestricted opinion, as opposed to being right in their face with an email or something like, hey, what problems do you have? Can you tell me how I can fix them for you? Like, people just don't, you just don't get good information that way, unfortunately.
Yeah. Earlier, you did mention that community has been undeniably a big instrument in the success of both products, and I would imagine other products to come. So how did you go about building that community from the very beginning and kind of like nurturing it to what it is now?
So I think it's important that I make the distinction between my audience and a community. There are many people who are wonderful at building communities around their products or around just a certain topic in general. You know, there's great Facebook groups, or there are people who are on Instagram and they're very active with their DMs. There are the platforms that are specifically for communities, like Discord or Slack or Circle. I do not have a community in that sense. I don't have a place where people who are my customers gather together and talk to each other. But I do have an audience, and I do have a brand that has grown to be very personalized to the people who do communicate with me. My audience is built through affiliate marketing. And I think usually when people hear affiliate marketing, they kind of think of, like, either a really big site like Amazon or something wants you to help sell their products, or they think about some resource website where you can post your stuff and they'll be your affiliate and they'll take 80% of your, you know, earnings and all of that. But that's not what I'm talking about. So you asked about the very beginning. And when I launched, I was following this process that I mentioned earlier, and it also had some information about content marketing. So I had some blog posts, and I had some lead gens, and I had 36 people on my email list. So I launched to those 36 people, and I thought at least 18 of them are going to buy it, right? I had 2 sales on my first day. Now, this was not a full-fledged extension. It was more of an alpha version of a concept about the logo exporting tool that I have. But I was disappointed by that. And I would say, if anybody is watching this who is thinking about creating a product, if you can make a sale, you have done a wonderful job. Like, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. But I only had 2 sales, and at the time, I didn't have the experience. I didn't think that that was very good. So I stuck with it for another 4 months, and we got to the holidays. And I had grown the email list a little bit. I had made 2 other sales, but that was it. 4 sales in 4 months, like a sale a month. And again, I wasn't relying on this to be my income, but still. Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, I got a message from someone who lives in India. And they had said, I really am interested in your product, but I can't afford it. However, I know some big people in the design space, and I'd be happy to like connect you with them if you'll give me the tool for free. I didn't know this person. I had never talked to them before. I had no idea if I could trust what they were telling me. But I'd only made 4 sales anyway, so I figured, why not? I'll just, I will do it. Well, fortunately, this person, his name's Arun, and he was on The Future's Young Guns back in the day. That was a series that The Future on YouTube was running. I didn't know that at the time, but he connected me to a man named Ian Padgett, and Ian Padgett runs Logo Geek. Logo Geek is a big podcast, but he also has a blog, and at the time, he had the largest active Facebook group for logo designers. So this would have been the very beginning of 2019. And he ranked number one on Google for the term logo files. So it just fit in perfectly with what I was doing. He reached out, said, I really like your product. Do you have an affiliate program? And I said, of course I have an affiliate program. I had no idea if I did or not. Luckily, the platform that I sell through, which is called Gumroad, does allow you to set up affiliates. So I get Ian on board, and he starts sharing with his Facebook group, and pretty quickly I made my first $1,000 in sales. And that to me was like, that was the success I had been looking for when I started, right? That was the validation that, oh, people do want this. I just don't have a big enough audience to sell it. But I get somebody with 90,000 followers on Twitter to share it, and now I see people do want it. So, you know, I developed a nice friendly relationship with Ian, and then he was able to connect me with other big names in the space. There was Jacob Cass from Just Creative. He has a massive blog for designers. And after I made that first $1,000, it was validation enough for me to invest in building the real product, you know, the extension, not just this bundle of actions and scripts and that sort of thing. So from there, my focus really became on how do I acquire more affiliates who have audiences or communities, right? It wasn't so much about building my own audience. Now, as a consequence of having a business and collecting people's emails, I did build up an email list. And I tried to add a lot of value to the people on my email list by sending them, you know, really informative and helpful things, and sometimes even giving them stuff for free. So I would say my biggest audience that I'm in control of is like my newsletter and my email list. But I have access to millions of designers through the affiliate network that I have built. And those people I have a personal relationship with. I have calls with them, I talk to them, I help them solve problems. I even create, you know, assets for them and stuff when I have sales. So that is kind of the community that I foster. And then those people actually have a very big audience. And that's how I'm able to touch enough people to make a business like this work. But I haven't yet spent time on actually being the face who goes and talks to people in my own self-built community.
So if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently? I would say, I mean, if we're talking, if everything's on the table, what I would do differently is that latest version that took me 2 years to build, I would have definitely been more incremental with that. And I would have just built a feature here, a feature there, to keep the momentum going, because it was really hard to recover from that long period of time off. And I stand by my decision to not have sold really heavily to people and then turn around and ask them to pay for an upgrade. So I think you get really ambitious and you want to make this really big change and turn into this completely, you know, different product. And the incremental kind of step-by-step way, I think, is a better way to go. But I really like working with my affiliates, so I wouldn't change anything about that and how I market the product. So really, that's probably the biggest lesson I've taken away from the experience during the time that I've run this business.
What's your favorite color?
I have a trouble answering any favorite question. But I'll tell you that the colors I like to work with a lot are sort of like yellow, oranges, and purples. I really like to work with those, and I think lime green, somewhere in the lime green family, is interesting. And of course, if you look at my website, logopackage.com, you'll see I have three products on there. One of them uses like a yellow orange, one of them uses a purple, and one of them uses a lime green. So
the purple seems like the black sheep, because you have like these warm, progressive yellows. Mm-hmm. And greens, and then you got purple.
Yeah, I think red and purple are kind of analogous, and then the lime green would be like a split complementary on the color wheel. So if you just shift the red over to orange, then it's kind of, I guess that's kind of the inspiration for that that color scheme.
What do those colors remind you of? Why is it that you prefer to use them more so than like to work with them?
You know, the only thing I can attribute it to is when I first started college, I had some foundational art classes, and we had to make a piece of art based on, we had to pick up a standard kind of color scheme, so tetradic or complementary or whatever, and I picked that split complementary where it was like purple, red, and lime green, and I made a piece of art, and I really got like deep into sort of using paints and stuff, which I hadn't really done before in high school, and so that color scheme has always just stuck with me, and I guess that's probably why it comes out, but other than that, I couldn't really say, you know, what experiences led me to use those colors.
Did you paint before you got into college?
No, I never had an interest in, I actually didn't really have much interest in art. It was one of those things that I was gifted at just naturally, like I had a natural gift for it, but it really took a lot of motivation to get me to actually do anything. So I didn't even take any art classes in high school. What I did take was some sort of elective classes about digital media, and I learned Photoshop, and I learned digital photography, and then I started making photo montages, and that is kind of what got me into design, because I really like solving problems, and I had the aesthetic talent, so it's like, let me just apply that aesthetic talent to what I'm really interested in, which is solving problems.
Fair enough. What would you say, what new product would you say that you have fallen in love with recently? Or gadget, or whatever?
Yeah, I have an answer for that. I do want to tell you, though, that I don't have I'm not using the paid Zoom, so it's going to kick me off the call in 4.5 minutes, unfortunately. But I definitely have an answer to that. I have used Airtable extensively for my business and automating things, and I always find new features. And so even just a new feature of that is almost like having a new tool. But Airtable, for people who don't know, is essentially like an Excel spreadsheet, but on steroids. And you can create connections between different Airtable bases and that sort of thing. You can create forms through it and collect information. I have all of my affiliates, for example. I said that's, you know, a relationship that I focus on. All of my affiliates have their own card. There's different views in Airtable to arrange your data. And I know exactly what their link is. I know what the last thing I communicated with them about is. Basically like building my own, like client management system inside of it. I think a lot of people use Notion very similarly, but I like Airtable. It's just what I discovered first.
How old are you now?
I am 33. I was born in 1990.
If you could go back and tell your 16-year-old self that everything was going to be okay, how would you do that?
I think I would just have to say, believe in yourself. You know, those things that you think you can do and that you're capable of, always believe that and always go for that, because I didn't often need a lot of motivation to try and achieve things in my life. But there were definitely moments where I was worried that I was on the wrong path. And so I think just knowing that, like, trusting what I'm going with is going to work out, that would be kind of the advice. It wouldn't be so much, that I'm worth it or something like that, but just to really trust that what I'm planning on doing is going to be fine, and I'm not going to suffer through it, even though there's going to be times that are a little scary.
Okay. Great. Is there anything else that you'd like to... Actually, one last thing. Where can people find out and download the product? Just shameless plug. Got a minute and a half.
Yeah, no problem. So the easiest place to find the products is just to go to logopackage.com. And from there, you can watch videos and learn more about each individual product that we offer. In terms of social media, I kind of use my affiliates' audiences to promote stuff, so I don't have a lot of content myself, but I do have an Instagram. I do post stories occasionally. That's just at Logo Package. And then, if you join the newsletter, you can get there through my website. It's at the bottom. The newsletter will have lots of tips and tricks and good tidbits for you. The blog is also on the website. I recently released an article about how you can restore Pantone libraries to newer versions of Illustrator. So there's good information on there as well. It's all pretty much on the website.
What's your dog's name?
I have one dog named Lily Pad. She's a miniature pincher. She's about 8 pounds. And then an ex and I sort of switch responsibilities with our other dog, which his name is Dax, and he's a Shih Tzu. So, but Lily is the one I live with and the one that was joining our call intermittently.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Michael. This has been an amazing time. I definitely appreciated talking to you, and I look forward to getting to know you a little bit better and using the product extensively on my projects. And thank you for your talk.
Thanks for having me on. It was a joy.
Awesome. If you like this episode, please leave a like, a comment, and subscribe. Thank you for tuning to this episode. And as always, the light at the end of the tunnel may be you.